Now then, an unusual appeal for volunteers. The volunteers in question might not actually be listening to the programme at the moment, because actually I think they probably should be at school. They've got to be aged between 8 and 12. And we just need them to volunteer to go to sleep, if you can persuade anybody between 8 and 12 to go to sleep. They're so full of beans. Let's talk to Victoria Noland and Natasha Thompson, who are involved in this project at the University of York. It's something called Sleep Smart. Victoria is one of the research team, and Natasha is an administrator on the project, but also her child is taking part in the study. So good morning to both of you.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
So Sleep Smart, Victoria, what's it about?
Sure. So we work with the Sleep Learning and Memory Lab at the University of York, and as a team we're fascinated by sleep, partly because it's such an enigma. So we sleep for around a third of our lives, and I'm going to be honest with you, we don't really know why. So what we're interested in our team at the lab is the kind of aspects of sleep that are related to learning and memory, and how sleep supports learning and memory, particularly in children. So we're running a project at the moment called Sleep Smart, and it's going to be going on for the next 3 years, and we're looking for, as you say, volunteers between 8 and 12 years old, both all children within York, if you're interested,
but
if
also,
you're a young scientist.
But also some special groups
exactly.
of children.
Yes, so we're particularly looking for children who have a diagnosis of autism and children who have language and speech difficulties.
The suggestion there is that you think you might find some kind of difference between children who've been diagnosed autistic and children who've got the particular difficulties right. that you've just mentioned there.
Yeah, so some estimates are as high as 86% with regard to how many children have sleep difficulties with autism. So children who have autism have difficulties falling asleep, difficulties staying asleep, and difficulties waking up in the morning, and they also have quite a lot of daytime sleepiness. A lot of those children also have difficulties learning language, so we're kind of looking at that relationship to see whether the sleep difficulties are kind of influencing their language learning.
Okay, Natasha, let's bring you into the conversation at this point. You're helping to administrate the scheme, but you've also got one of your youngsters taking part in it.
Yes, well, I actually got involved because my son does have a diagnosis of autism, and I'm involved. I live in Scarborough, and I run a parent support group for families of children with autism. And we also link up with a group in York called York Awesome Kids that does the same thing. And so,
and what's been your experience of your son's sleep patterns?
Well, we definitely have had some problems with sleep. It's getting slightly better now. My son with autism's now 15, and I think he sleeps a lot better now, but it was a massive problem for us. And I know for a lot of other families that come to our groups, it is an issue. So we feel like families will be really interested in getting involved in this.
There's a bit of a chicken and egg sort of question to all this,
yeah,
isn't there? Is it the autistic condition that is causing the disruption to mm-hmm. sleep, and does that lead to problems with learning, and that sort of bringing us full circle into the autism thing again? Have you got some theories, Victoria, as to whereabouts we sort of put the cut-off point this almost vicious circle?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really difficult question. It's definitely something that we're looking to tackle. So we're going to be looking longitudinally at these children. So we'll be following children up throughout the three-year project to look and see if we can untangle some of those issues. And we're also starting a project looking at infant sleep, so children who are at risk of autism and how likely they are to have very early sleep difficulties as infants.
Is it something that your son has grown out of, Natasha?
I think to a certain extent, yeah. He's a teenager now, and it's quite hard to get him to wake up. But I think things like learning to read really help. So when you can have ways to relax, he found it very hard to switch off at night. I think he just became more talkative and hyperactive as he got tired, which is the opposite of what you want.
Yeah, that must be very difficult. But I'm sure many of us sort of experience
problem.
That. So, what is the commitment here? Because you're talking about a 3-year-long study. I mean, we've already we started the programme this morning talking about a national study that's gone on for 50 years with 10,000 people taking part. There's a commitment. Yours is 3 years, and you're looking for volunteers to take part, or parents to volunteer their own children.
Yeah, so we'll be looking for volunteers at different points over the next 3 years. So we're not asking people to sign up for that whole duration, right. Don't worry. Just one study at a time. So at the moment, what we're asking is to see children one morning and to teach them some new information. And then that evening, we come to their house and we put sensors on their head, which measure the ongoing electrical activity in the brain. And then we leave children with those sensors on overnight. And it's really interesting. So the children get to see their own brain waves on a computer screen. And then they sleep in the sensors. And in the morning, we come and visit them again and look to see how well they've learnt that information from the day before. And we're looking at the role that sleep plays in helping them learn that information that we taught them.
Right. So there's no question of the of a child having to go to an unfamiliar sleep lab or anything, because I'm sure we've all seen programs on the television about sleep research and people, volunteers, lying down in special rooms and being watched with infrared cameras and all that kind of thing. This is going to happen in your own bedroom with your own teddy bears and your own socks on the floor.
Yes, definitely in your own home. It will make it as comfortable and as easy and interesting as possible. And we find that all the children that we've worked with so far have found it really interesting to be involved.
And Natasha, has your son actually done this yet?
He has. My children have been in the piloting stage as I'm sort of working on the project, and they've really, it's very gadgety. They love the science of it.
Well, I'm going to say, you know, either a child is going to lap this up and think, oh my goodness, aren't I just the most important person in the world, and look at me and selfies, and it's going to go on Facebook and all their mates will know about the fact that they've had all this gadgetry and the brain waves and all that kind of thing, their sleep patterns analysed. Either they'll get really excited about that, or they'll think, do I really want this? And it'll actually, the process will stop them going to sleep. But I get the impression in your household it was the former rather than the latter.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's obviously an option to drop out at any time, and that we're doing a lot of different studies. So if children did find the wires alarming, it wouldn't, they'd be under no pressure to go through with that. But it's just, we're interested in anyone who would like to get involved in any way. So,
and actually we find that, amazingly, that all of this, the wires and all the setup doesn't seem to interrupt children's sleep at all.
They sleep so much better than us.
Particularly the teenagers, Will you get up?
I put the sensors on one boy's head last week, and then he immediately went and Skyped with all of his friends so that he could show them.
Look at me. Yeah. How cool is this? How many sensors do you actually have to put on someone's head to read?
So we put 14 on altogether.
Wow.
Yeah. So some on the scalp and then some on the face.
You don't have to shave hair off or anything like that? No. It can go through?
No, it goes through, yeah.
And how do you glue them on? I mean, these are questions that parents will ask and think about, do I want this to happen to my child? Is it sticky pads or what?
So we put a little bit of gel underneath each sensor, and that just helps the signal from the scalp to the sensor. And then we put a little bit of medical tape over the top.
Right.
And then in the morning, the medical tape just comes straight off. We've got a little spray that helps it come off so it doesn't hurt at all.
And whereabouts does the, on all these 14 wires are going into, going into something which is recording the output.
Exactly.
How intrusive is that?
So it's just a little recording box. It's about the size, I was going to say, like a portable cassette tape, but nobody knows what that would be. But it's kind of hand-sized.
You're too young to know what a portable cassette... I know what a portable cassette tape is going to look like, but you're too young.
So it's about sort of hand-sized. And we just put it in a little kind of bag that sits around the child's waist on a belt. So then they're free just to walk around and spend the evening as they normally would, and they're free to turn over in their sleep and everything. It doesn't interrupt their movement at all.
Fascinating. Yeah. And presumably at the end of it you can say, well, you and your child, your family did make a contribution to trying to discover something about the importance of sleep when it comes to learning, and also the particular factor that we've also mentioned, whether or not things are different for young people with learning difficulties of one sort or another.
Exactly, yeah. And the aim is that hopefully we'll be able to understand a bit more about the kind of practical issues around sleep with children with autism and with language difficulties, and how we can support the sleep in those groups.
And you started off by saying something absolutely key, even after all these years and centuries of discussing sleep and why human beings sleep, we still really can't give a definitive answer as to why people sleep.
Yeah.
Why we're programmed to do this. So I gather that it was a good experience then in your household, Natasha.
Yes, they are really excited. and keen for more. I think they'll be in the next project.
All right. Good to hear. If somebody listening this morning wants to get in touch with you and volunteer, how do they do it?
So if you have a look on the University of York website and search for Sleep Smart, then you can just sign up in a little box on the page and we'll send you an email.
Okay, simple as that. Yep. But by doing that, you're not committing to
Absolutely
it.
Absolutely not.
You're just inquiring about it and you can take it from there.
We'll just send you some more information.
Chat to you or the person who's administrating it all.
Exactly. And actually, there's a coffee monitor and an energy trampolining tomorrow run by the Autism Support Group in York, and we will be there. So if anyone wants to come and chat to us about it.
All right, yes, because
we're hoping to have a bounce.
Yeah. People, well, good luck. Natasha Thompson and Victoria Nolan, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Go and have a look. Google Sleep Smart and University of York, and you will find out more about it if you'd like to get involved with this. And obviously, you'll chat about it to your kids and see whether they're on board with it. But as you've heard, it sounds like quite an exciting thing, the sort of thing you can boast you.